The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Fearless Friday with Jeff Parry.
Well, the dogs are barking, but Jeff Parry's not here. He's up in Kalbarri, as we heard at the top of the show. Instead, filling his shoes very ably is the West State Political Editor, Peter Law. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Ben.
And now, normally, you'd focus on state politics, but this week, there's been an intersection of state and federal politics because of the arrival of Prime Minister Scott Morrison for the first time in WA for 537 days. What have you made of his visit so far?
Well, first of all, congratulations on your scoop getting him on the show. That was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic to have him on the show and to grill him about Christine Holgate, what he was going to do in Western Australia. And even from that first moment, it was clear that he was going to try and ride Premier Mark McGowan's coattails as hard as possible. Is that what you've seen?
Absolutely. I mean, he should have been here in February before the election. And now he's come, middle of April, and geez, he brought a lot of baggage, didn't he? Christian Porter, Linda Reynolds, Christine Holgate, a vaccine rollout that is off the rails. Like, things were looking a lot rosier 2 months ago. So he's absolutely tried to attach himself to Mark McGowan. They haven't done any public events together, but geez, the rhetoric's looking very similar when it comes to COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's also been, praising Mark McGowan. It's almost obsequious how much he has just blown smoke up the Premier this week. He's saying, he deserved the election win. He's been a great Premier, a great leader for Western Australia. It's almost as if, he's a member of the Labor Party as well.
Well, he certainly signed up to the Mark McGowan cheerleading squad, hasn't he? Strong leadership was the phrase that we heard. And look, my main takeaway from what we've seen and heard from the Prime Minister this week is that I think he's stolen Mark McGowan's re-election playbook. It was just a few weeks or months ago before the WA state election that the Prime Minister and his chief health officers were talking about we've got to start treating COVID like a bad flu once the most vulnerable are vaccinated. That means starting to look at easing the border, kickstarting the economy, which looks like it's actually going pretty well according to the latest unemployment figures. He spent 3 days in Western Australia and all of a sudden he's talking about, I don't think West Australians particularly want that international border reopen. That's going to mean thousands of cases every week. It's going to mean the reintroduction of COVID restrictions. It's like, who are we listening to here?
I know, right? I have to pinch myself a few times. The challenge for him now, though, is convincing WA voters ahead of a federal election that everything that we have here that we're so lucky in Western Australia he's responsible for. And do you think he's going to be able to do that? Do you think he's been able to do that on this visit?
No, he hasn't been able to do it so far. The premiers have enjoyed all of that glory, even though it's fair to say the feds did a lot of the heavy lifting with JobKeeper, which is now
billions of dollars.
Absolutely, yep, and it's now come to an end. So I always thought that his big re-election play was going to be a successful vaccine rollout. If he could get every Australian vaccinated in a timely way ahead of the federal election, he can claim credit rightly for that. But here we are. It's what started a couple of months ago, and it's just an absolute chaos at the moment. I've been talking to GPs this week who are running respiratory clinics in Perth. They should be getting 300 people through a day vaccinated. At the moment, they're getting 30. Like, it's just completely stalled. There's logistical problems with getting the vaccine out to the GPs. The state have about 30,000 AstraZeneca doses on hand. They can't give them away because of federal bureaucracy. The system is broken at the moment. It needs a reset. Unfortunately, the bigger problem at the moment is fear.
Yeah, well, your story on the front page of the West today about this death, potentially from a blood clot related to the vaccine, still a lot of information to come out on that particular incident in New South Wales, but there's no doubting the impact that it has on public confidence.
Absolutely. We're seeing that. That is one of the big reasons why there's, the steady stream of people getting vaccinated is slow to a trickle in these clinics is hesitancy. And I think hesitancy has gone from being people who might be health nuts who think that they know better than the scientists to actually a growing percentage of the population who otherwise would just trust what politicians and health officers tell them. How they overcome that, I'm really not sure, because the big problem they've got is in Britain, for example, there's been 20 deaths from these very rare blood clots out of the 20 million AstraZeneca doses that have been administered. But you compare that to the number of deaths that they had, tens and tens of thousands for the last year, it's minuscule. So people can see the risk-benefit and they think, I'd rather take my chances with the jab than get infected by my neighbour. Here, we have no COVID. No one is dying. And if this this poor lady, a 48-year-old woman in the Central Coast of New South Wales, is confirmed as a death linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine, more people have been killed by the vaccine in Australia this year than they have by COVID.
Yeah,
that's a hard PR nightmare. Right.
It's a PR nightmare, and I don't know how you get past that. The best thing would be to open up the international borders, and if COVID was back in Australia, then I think people would be motivated to get the vaccine. Without that, you know, you're really asking a lot of people to take a chance. Even though it's a minuscule chance, you probably have a better chance of winning the lotto than you do of dying from a COVID vaccine. But still, you know, it's a massive, massive mental hurdle that people need to get over. And the PM, it's on his shoulders now. And with some experts saying it might not be till the end of next year that a lot of Aussies are vaccinated, it's showing no sign of going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's two things at play here. One, the AstraZeneca jab were obviously heavily reliant on it. They did that because they knew that they could produce it at the CSL factory in Victoria rather than relying on it coming from America or India.
Which in theory is a good idea.
It absolutely makes sense. And I still think the AstraZeneca vaccine is incredibly safe and effective. And if I had the choice right now, I would take it. I think it's worth that risk for us to move forward as a nation. But I can understand why there is hesitancy. Particularly when there's this promise of Pfizer jabs, which are now what we're told later in the year. We have no COVID. People have no expectation of travelling. So I think they're just willing to wait.
To wait, yeah. Yep. And now I think the state government were willing to wait until the next big story came along and just stick their heads in the sand over the health system. They've had the arrival of Scott Morrison. They've had Prince Philip's death. Now they've got this vaccine rollout disaster.
And a cyclone.
And a cyclone, of course, and Cyclone Seroja, which has taken attention off last week's biggest story, which was the systemic problems in our health system. Do you think they've gotten away with it?
I think it's the single, aside from the pandemic, the single biggest issue that they're facing. But it does show how when the pandemic flares up as an issue, it just swamps absolutely everything else. And that's just going to be the story for the rest of this year, which, you know, politically is convenient for governments, including Scott Morrison's. We did see an announcement from Roger Cook. It didn't get a lot of airplay this week, which was that before the election, they announced they were going to hire 400 newly qualified nurses over the next 2 years for the WA's public health system. They've now boosted that to 600 over the next 2 years. So that's an extra 200. That's good news for these nursing graduates. That's good news for the hospitals. But what it does look like is policy on the run, and they're reacting to the pressure from the media and the public.
Yeah, and it's. Do you think there's, are there any signs that they're sitting down with the AMA, the Nurses Federation? Are those discussions happening as far as you know?
I know that there was due to be a meeting with those two groups and the minister, and I assume the departmental bosses this week. Cyclone Seroja has stalled all of that. But at the same time, Roger Cook did get a tick off from his cabinet on Monday to spend millions more on nurses. So I think there is change in the air, but it is just a starting point when what we're being told by the AMA's Andrew Miller is that bed capacity is the issue. Now that is incredibly expensive. Neither of the parties really brought any decent policy to the state election on that front. So you'd hope that Roger Cook's working on a plan.
And it's all about money, as we know. And so it's interesting that next week we're going to see the arrival of Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg. Looking ahead, what do you think we could hear from him? And do you think he'll be in election mode as well, keen to win over West Aussie voters?
Absolutely. I mean, he's potentially the next Prime Minister, isn't he? Or the next opposition leader, depending on how the next election goes. I think we'll hear a lot of praising of Western Australia. We'll hear a lot about iron ore. We'll hear a lot of thanks for keeping the mines open. And at the same time, there'll be a lot of questions about, okay, well, what's your plan for taking it forward? And he's going to face the same difficult questions about the vaccine, about international travel and about tourism, that at the moment, Scott Morrison has gone from championing those causes to using the Mark McGowan playbook.
Yeah, and it's a playbook that worked very well for Mark McGowan. Well, it remains to be seen if it'll work well for Scott Morrison. Pete Law, either way, we know we'll have you covering it. The West Australian State Political Editor, thanks for being on The West Live.
Thanks, Ben.